Welcome to River of Hope this morning. It's been an absolutely beautiful week and weekend. A bunch of us, 10 of us, I think, just got back from men's conference late last night. So if we seem a little bit on the slow side, you'll understand why. We got completely refreshed and refilled with that experience. I mean, it was an amazing weekend. I would love to be able to have you guys connect with some of the people that went and just hear about how it was. I mean, it was amazing. I don't think there was a single one of our guys who went there who did not experience God in a new way somehow. Whether it was through the interaction with each other and the discussion we had, or through the speakers, both managed to somehow migrate their way north from down south. So you got a little bit of that southern gospel thing going on and a little bit more energy than I normally deliver. But it was amazing. All that being said, if this is your first time visiting with us here at River of Hope, it is our honor, it is our pleasure that you have chosen to join us here. We just love it when we have new people coming in and just being able to experience what River of Hope is about, and that's about glorifying the name of Jesus. This morning, we're going to pray over our offering, over our tithes and offerings, and then Amanda's going to come up and help us with announcements before we dig into our message this morning. If you would bow with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day you've blessed us with. Lord God, I thank you that as we look outside the windows, that we just see the beauty of your creation. Lord, we just see everything that you have spoken into being and are reminded of just how great you are. Lord, I thank you for everything you have blessed us with provision, with just the ability to provide for ourselves our food and shelter, Lord God. We give back to you from what you have blessed us with. We ask, Lord, that you would take this offering and that you would receive it, Lord God, that you would bless it, that it would be multiplied for your kingdom's use. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Just want to put a quick plug while the offering's coming around. Guys, if you have not paid for men's conference yet and you're able to do that, feel free to put that in the offering today or as soon as you are able. Pastor Jesse, what was the amount for that? Just in case, 80. Okay. All right. Okay, so then I think Alexa announced this Friday is the fifth quarter event. So teens, come on out for some free food and fun and games and pass the word. I'm going to have Pastor Jesse give an update on the youth rally that took place here last week, but I have to say it was amazing and God moved. And for an event that we put together in about 2 weeks with very little time, I thought it was very successful. So I'll let him share more details on what exactly happened, but that was a really fun night. You may have noticed when you came in this morning that there's some tables out with some sheets of paper, and I just wanted to encourage you guys as you're leaving today to just walk past those tables and browse the different ministry opportunities that we have here at River of Hope. I am going to leave this out another week because I want to catch people that maybe are not here today, but just you may be surprised of the opportunities that we have here for you to plug in and volunteer, and if there was ever a time that we needed volunteers, it's now. So if you have been on the edge, like just, I just want to encourage you guys to jump in and take a risk. Really, Alexa and Danny are, I mean, stepping out, sharing, hey, we're scared of teens, but we're doing this. So we need more people like that. We need the church that is more scared, but willing to step out in faith and watch what God is going to do. So I just wanted to highlight a couple ones is the youth ministry that's just kicking off here. Alexa and Danny would love some help if you have a calling to help with youth ministry. I am sure that they would love assistance. Is that right? Yes, some extroverted assistance. So if that is something, you love teens and you have energy, or you maybe lost your energy and you want energy back. It rubs off, the teens rub it off on you. So it will come back, believe me. So if that's something, feel free to sign up out there. The other new ministry that I just wanted to quickly highlight is we have an administration / cleaning team that is going to be really kicking off that Sandy is overseeing. So there's a lot of duties involved in that. And if you're like, well, I can't really commit to a Sunday morning ministry, this would be a perfect ministry for you because it falls during the week and it's flexible on the time. So Sandy has more details on what that would be like, but I am just hoping and praying that we get a team of people that will be like, yes, I will volunteer, and we get enough people that it's only a once a month thing that people are coming in during the week to help just make this place look nice, because that's really important, is to have this place look nice. And so if you have more questions about that ministry, since it's a newer one, feel free to contact me. If you have questions about any ministry out there, feel free to contact me as well, and I'll direct you to the right person if I don't know the answer, okay? Yeah.
And one of the things they highlighted at the men's conference was that God, throughout the Bible, routinely picked people that were like nobody's, incapable of doing anything. And you nailed it when you talked about Moses. That was one of the examples they gave. And if you think you have nothing to offer at all, then you are the exact person that God wants to step up and do something. And they talk about that in multiple different facets of the weekend, about how the least people that have, that feel like they aren't good at anything, have no value, have nothing to offer, are the exact people that God calls. Mm-hmm. And so if you're sitting here thinking, I looked at those sheets, I'm really not good at any of those things, I really can't do any of this, I wish I could help somehow, but I can't, then realize that your identity is not of somebody who is a failure and unable to help. Your identity, and they talked about this a lot in the closing session, was your identity is in God, in Christ, as your Savior, and through Him, you're capable of doing anything that He calls you up to do. So don't assume that because you look at those things and you're not good at those things, that you're unable to help here. Mm-hmm. So you're the exact person who we need to step up and help. Because it has to be carried by many, many people. And it can't be carried by just a few or a whole family. So don't be afraid to go like way outside and do youth ministry if that's what you think God's got for you, or you don't know what God's got for you, then just step up and try something. Because failing is not
final.
Failing is not final. That's what they said. Failing is just an act of learning what your boundaries are and continuing to push it. And when you fall down and you're laying on the ground and you feel like you're getting kicked in the back, then that's the time that you step back up and try again. So that's my little takeaway from this weekend. So I got some passion about that, but I couldn't help but when you were speaking and you were talking, this is like, it's a message that everybody needs to hear. And I often wish the women would come with us, because it is so amazing the words that these speakers share every year. You always come away just like, wow, I needed to hear that.
Cool. Thanks, John. So I always love what Pastor Peter Haas said is, we're looking for fat people. Okay. It stands for faithful, available, teachable. So if you can be faithful and be teachable and available, that's what we need here at River of Hope. We need some fat people, okay? So, all right, moving on. Just bear with me. I got a lot of announcements this morning. So Life Group started up this last Wednesday. If you didn't make it, no problem. Jump right in. I see that the reading is reading chapters 1-3 under Hear His Voice, in case you have the book and you need to know what to read. Otherwise, if you don't have the book or you whatever, just show up Wednesday, because it'll be a great time. So October 21st, there's going to be an adoption benefit here for Josh and Lacey, and a concert, Awaken the Desolate is coming. Juice the Comedian is coming. If you don't know who that is, look it up on YouTube. He's a Christian comedian. I don't know who he is, but he sounds great. And there are going to be a lot of cool details coming, of more details on the events, but I know that if you come, you're going to have a chance to unpack our tickets again. So if you missed it at the youth rally, this is your second chance, okay? All right. Next Sunday, we have a backyard barbecue happening at Josh and Lacey's house, which I realize I stole their clipboard for that. Okay, so that's next week, Sunday, following the service. And so we'd love for you to come out for that. This is just a sign-up sheet that you can sign up in for a dish to pass and just bring some lawn chairs. Next Ladies Connect is October 28th, the last Saturday of the month, and it's at 9:45, ladies, and it's called Brushes, Brunch, and Beauty. So Sandy Rowe is going to be heading up this, and we're going to be painting something. I don't know what we're painting, but it's always cool, and it always makes us look like we're really artistic, so I love that. So she just asked that we sign up and prepay for this, and there's a sign-up on the welcome table. So as you're going out today, browse the tables, browse the welcome table. There's a sign-up out there for that event. Let's see. I feel like I'm forgetting something. But otherwise, if any of you guys have questions on upcoming events, just come and talk to me following the service, or any questions on ministry sign-ups, come and talk to me after service.
So this weekend, we had... Jason Cook, former NFL fullback from the Baltimore Ravens, come and share with us. And I think he was praying really hard about bringing some of his southern atmosphere with us, because we got the heat and the humidity. And I'm not sure I like that, being a Wisconsin kid. So I know how you feel right now. You're kind of sitting there going, it's really hot. I'm gonna bring a message as quickly as I can, but I can't tell you how long it's going to take, because that's just not right of a pastor to do that. So we're going to jump in right away to Colossians 1. Before I do that, if you were not here last week, you would have missed the announcement that Amanda and I have actually been called out of Medford. We will be serving here through the end of October, and then we will be transferring, picking up everything we know, leaving our family, leaving our friends, but doing what God has called us to, without a doubt, to move our family to central Minnesota. Yes, I understand it's Minnesota and they have the Vikings, and everything we believe is against that. But when God says go, you have to listen. And that's where we're at right now. That's the very short summary of last week's kind of message and talk. Our advisory team, our board came up and they shared with you kind of the process of how things are going to move. Next week, we will have a quick update on where that's at and the process of that. As much as I really struggled and really had a hard time sharing that last week, the reassuring thing through every single person I've talked to, through what God has revealed to me, to Amanda, to Josh, our children's pastor, is there would be change, but there would be growth. So we need to go into this transition, into this period of a little bit of an uncertainty and stepping out in faith. As we step out in faith, it's requiring you to also step out in faith. And that's the interesting thing, the interesting dynamic about how God works through ministries and through people and through transitions, is as we step out in faith, it creates these gaps and these things that people need to step up into and to serve in, right? But that gives everyone else an opportunity to get out of their seats and to say, you know what, I can do this. I can step up, I can fill a gap, I can make this work, and I can help. And so, like John was saying, it doesn't matter if you feel like you're equipped to do something. I have sentiments with Alexa and her little sermonette this morning. granted, I wasn't afraid of teenagers, but I was deathly afraid of being in front of them. Being the person that people look to hear from. That was my fear, and God has continued to put us in places and put us in front of people and ask us to do things and to speak, and the only way we can do it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. And that's another thing we learned in men's conference. Now that I'm kind of done preaching a little bit of not really an intro, we're going to go into Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Through the next few weeks, I didn't look at the calendar. I don't know how many weeks we have left here. I just know that I want to give you everything I can before we're done. And I want to leave you guys with as much momentum, with as much drive and passion to continue doing the work that God is already doing here. And so I'm going to give you everything I have. And this morning, we're going to be talking about the one thing we need to remember through this whole process. And it's something that they touched on at men's conference as well. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Verse 21, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Let's pray before we dive back into this text this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this writing from Paul. As he's writing to the church, Lord, as he's writing to us, Lord God, I thank you for the reminders we have. I just pray and ask that you would allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, that you would allow everything that comes from my mouth to be from your will, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. I pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I've tried to make a point throughout all of the memorable moments of preaching up here to make sure that I communicate. It doesn't matter who's up front. It doesn't matter who's standing here and who's communicating the word of God to you, because God uses all different people in all different capacities, just like John stood up and shared his passion and what he took away from men's conference today. You know, it doesn't matter who it's coming from. What matters is that we are remembering the truth that we find in Scripture. In Colossians chapter 1, as I read through this text, the thing that jumps out to me is that Christ, Jesus, is the head of everything. Jesus is the focus. He is the top of this chain. And he is the one we need to rely on through everything. Verse 15 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. You know, a lot of times people kind of ask, you know, well, how do you believe in something you can't see? Well, we know that throughout history there have been fact after fact after all sorts of artifacts and things found that have proven that Jesus lived and died, even pointing to the resurrection of Jesus. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Our hope lies in Jesus alone. Our faith lies in the fact that we know that Jesus walked this earth, that he lived for us, that he died for us, that he was resurrected for us. Jesus existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms, and on earth, he made things we can see and the things we can't. Do you understand that when it says he made things we can see and the things we can't, that even means the plans for our lives? Last week, I shared a little bit about how we're a GPS type people now. We pull up maps and we see point A to point B, but then we hit that detail button and we know exactly what turns we're supposed to take to get there. And that's not what God does at all in our lives. Sometimes we don't even know what point B is. We just know this is the next step. And sometimes we don't even know where the ground is that's in front of us that we're supposed to land on. But that's where we walk in faith. That's where we need to trust in what our scripture tells us, is that Jesus has ordained everything, that he has created the things we can see, including the plans we can see. and including the plans we can't. I'll tell you, I'm going to be extremely honest with you. As Amanda and I were praying and seeking God over this whole idea of moving on and having to leave Medford and leave this ministry, I went into that discussion with God as resistant as possible. You've heard stories of the people that said, God, I'm not going. Moses said, I'm not going. But every single thing, every excuse that we have, including in the scriptures that you see people having, God says, you know what? That excuse is null. Here's your resource. And as passionate as we are about this town, about this church, about this community, it would be an injustice to this community, to this church, for us to ignore what God is telling us and stay. That would be a selfish move. It would be a self-satisfying move because we are comfortable. As children of God, we are called to step out in faith. One of the biggest things we heard this weekend was not being afraid to fail. I believe one of the stats they shared was the rate of failure begins at 100% across humanity. That means we are equal. That means that every one of us has a failure somewhere, and it's not even a comparison of who is better at something or not. That's pretty powerful when you stop to look at it, because you might see people that are more successful and you kind of judge yourself compared to them. But in reality, God is just asking you to be willing to step out in faith and try things. Our faith needs to be stronger than our fear of failure. Scripture tells us he made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. The challenge I really want to bring in our time as we're kind of winding down ministry here in Medford is that we need to keep our focus on Christ. So our scripture tells us that Jesus is the one who holds everything together. One thing we need to know and understand is that when God blesses us with something, he asks us to hold on to it with open hands. And there's a reason for that. Because when we receive from Christ, we need to be willing to give from what he has given us. And when you can do that, when you can give freely from what he has blessed you with, you will continue to receive. And I'm not necessarily talking about finances, although it does apply. I'm talking about the way you interact with people. When you have received grace, you give grace. When you give grace, you're going to receive grace. If we can go into every area of our life just being willing to invest and willing to bless and give things back to people, God is going to continue to increase your ability to do that. I can't tell you how it works. I don't know. I just know that it works. I'm not afraid to stand here and admit that I don't understand everything that's written in the Bible. But what I do have is the faith that what Jesus communicates to us and what the Word of God gives to us as truth is in fact that. Truth. Jesus existed before anything else and he holds all creation together. The next verse is, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. That means all of us are just a part of who he is. When we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are grafted into his family. We become a part of him. One of the things they shared with us at men's conference was when we receive Christ into our lives, when we accept him as our Savior and we repent of our sins, it's like when God looks at us, he doesn't see us as us anymore. He sees us as Jesus. because of the covering of him over us by receiving him as our Savior. I believe they went into a little Harry Potter discussion there, and I'm not gonna go there, but we need to start looking at ourselves as what we really are. And that's not as people who can't get something done. It's not as people who aren't good at this or aren't good at that, who are afraid to communicate or afraid to stand in front of people. It's not the people that are afraid to step out in faith or just too scared to take the next step forward. It's people who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. That's all that matters. Is that if you had made that decision to follow Christ, you are his. And that is now your identity. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. You see, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they decided to kind of go against the word of God, and we won't go into who did what and all that fun stuff, we're not going to do that. We know it's human nature, and that was the spur of it all. That created a gap between us and between God. A separation. And then you see this, the Bible is a story, the whole Bible is a story of reconciliation. Every single book you read is just another page in that story where you see humanity running from God and doing a bunch of stupid stuff and getting in trouble. And then you see God bringing them back and restoring them. And then you see them falling away again. But we know the end of the story is that Jesus returns and he reconciles all of creation, all of his believers back to him, including heaven and earth. So when our scripture tells us, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. It means that when God sent Jesus to earth, he did it with joy, he did it with passion, he did it with pure and genuine love for each and every one of us. And it pleased him to live as Christ so that he could reconcile his creation, the people and humanity that he created to live in harmony and praising and worshiping him, back to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This is getting into some powerful text here in verse 21. I need you to hear this. I know it's hot. I know it's kind of hard to focus. He made peace with everything in heaven on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Verse 21, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. You realize that before we have been reconciled to Christ, before we have made the steps of faith to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are enemies of God. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend that because, you know, we try to live life and we try to be, you know, as nice as we can to people, even the ones we don't like. You just try not to really, you know, bug each other. You'll just avoid each other if you don't really care for them, right? If I don't have to see you, then I don't have to worry about, you know, being upset with you or something. So in a sense, if we look at it that way, and we see God, who we are his enemies before salvation, yet he doesn't look away from us and the mess we live in. Instead, he continues to put things in front of us that will allow our eyes and our minds to be open to see him and to have the blinders removed from our eyes. Each and every one of us were far away from God at one point, and maybe we still are. We were his enemies, separated by our evil thoughts and our actions. You know, a lot of times people think, you know, I haven't sinned, I haven't done this, I don't hate people, I don't lie, I don't do that kind of stuff. You realize that it says our evil thoughts and actions. You can't for one second make me believe that you haven't had a bad thought about somebody. Because then I got you on lying right there. I don't think we fully realize how far we are away from Christ. Or how far we are away from our being reconciled with God without Christ. There's nothing within our own power. Absolutely nothing. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, yet now he has reconciled you to himself. I wish I would have come prepared to develop the word reconciled more. Redeemed is another word that's often used in the scripture. Redeemed is, it kind of means like, to redeem something means that somebody is giving something and you're receiving something in return. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Jesus Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Listen to this. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Do you comprehend what that is saying? So often we get caught up on the things that our life has been and the mistakes we've made. Even this morning, you might have got up and you know, thought something you shouldn't have, or said something you shouldn't have, or acted somehow you shouldn't have. Yet through Jesus Christ, we stand before God holy and blameless without a single fault. Do you understand that that is an all-inclusive statement? Our culture has this idea at times that certain people are more privileged than others, and that races are different and all of this stuff, and it's like we're going back through history and having to fight all these battles again. Scripture does not in one single sentence ever distinguish between races. It doesn't distinguish between nations. Instead, it says the blood of Jesus Christ, whoever believes, stands before God as holy and blameless without a single fault. Verse 23, I'll be ending here shortly, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. You must continue to believe. No matter your own personal struggles and what you might be going through, no matter the doubts that you might have come into your mind and your thoughts, you must continue to believe that the work that God began in you will come to pass. You need to believe that the work that has been started here at River of Hope in Medford will continue to move forward and continue to have progress. You must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Paul is saying, don't waver. Stand with conviction over what you believe about Jesus Christ. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. This morning, what I really want to drive home is it's important as a body of believers that we focus on Christ. Obviously, we know that in the upcoming month and a half, as we begin to kind of phase our way out of ministry here, things become a little bit uncertain because you don't know what the future holds. Now, we're going to do everything we can as leaders, as our board and the district are going to do everything they can to put somebody in here who is going to lead you with strength, with boldness, with passion, each and every week, the same person. We need to guard ourselves from believing lies. We need to guard our hearts from being upset about the things that God is doing. Because he has ordained each and every one of our steps. You know, as I look across the room, I see people that I know for a fact have gone from just one place in their life to a whole nother level by stepping out in faith and following God. That process doesn't stop. I don't think God ever lets us get to a place where we're on the top and we have no further to go. It doesn't happen. There is always something else around the corner that he might call us to do, and sometimes it's the uncomfortable, it's the stuff that's not easy. And that's where our faith needs to surpass our fear of failure. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance and the hope you received when you heard the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to pray this morning with you as we close service. If you would bow with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Lord God, I thank you that you have given him as a covering over who we are, that you have placed him in front of us as you look at us. You don't see a broken and fallen person, but you see your son. You see your daughter redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray and I ask that you would allow this body of believers to just grow closer together, that they would be more driven and determined to see your name proclaimed in glory and with passion in this community or wherever they go. Father, I ask that you would send a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit over each and every person seated in this room today. That you would just send gifts of boldness, of passion, of power, of preaching, of teaching, Lord God, of prophecy, of all of the gifts that your Spirit bestows, that you would just pour them out on this church, Lord God, that they would begin to function to every degree that you have created them to function. Lord God, as the reputation continues to grow in this community, I pray that your name would be advanced boldly and with power throughout all of it, and that you would help us to continue to hold fast to our faith in you and what we first believed, to continually see you as the head of the church. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Amen. If you guys have any questions about any of the sign-up sheets out on the back tables or any of the upcoming events, please stop and see Amanda. I'm sure there's other people that can help you as well. Thank you guys for coming out today. Have a great afternoon. This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive.